From the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., in the studios of WMAL 630 AM, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Tonight, the X Conference, UFO disclosure. Get ready for that. Well, the Israeli military is preparing itself to launch a massive aerial assault on Iran's nuclear facilities within days of being given the go-ahead by its new government. Among the steps taken to ready Israeli forces for what would be a risky raid requiring pinpoint aerial strikes are the acquisition of three airborne warning and control aircraft and regional missions to simulate the attack. Two nationwide civil defense drills will help to prepare the public for the installation that Israel could face. Officials believe that Israel could be required to hit more than a dozen targets. Now, the distance from Israel to at least one of the sites is more than 870 miles. You might remember just last week, Major Ed Dames remote viewed. He said that Israel would attack Iran within 5 months. Well, get ready for new pollution limits. Cars, power plants, and factories could all soon face much tougher pollution limits. The government took a major step in that direction, including that carbon dioxide and five other greenhouse gases endanger your health and welfare. Under federal clean air laws, that they may help cause climate change or global warming and pose an enormous threat in both magnitude and probability. It is the first time that the federal government has said that it is ready to use the Clean Air Act to require power plants, cars, trucks to curtail the release of climate-changing pollution, as they call it, especially carbon dioxide from the burning of fossil fuels. A court in Sweden has jailed four men behind the Pirate Bay. That's the world's most high-profile file-sharing website. It's a landmark case. They were found guilty of breaking copyright law, sentenced to a year in jail, also ordered to pay a $4.5 million fine. The record companies welcomed the verdict, but the men are to appeal, and they refuse to pay the fine. When President Barack Obama eased limits on taxpayer-funded embryonic stem cell research, the big question became how far scientists could go. Well, Friday, the government answered they must use cells culled from fertility clinic embryos that otherwise would be thrown away. Draft guidelines released by the National Institutes of Health reflect rules with broad congressional support, excluding more controversial sources such as cells derived from embryos created just for experiments. A study using new image technology finds that silent heart attacks may be far more common and more deadly than suspected. Some studies estimate that often painless heart attacks affect 200,000 people in the United States each year. Dr. Han Kim of the Duke University in North Carolina suspects the numbers may even be far higher. Doctors usually can tell whether a patient has had a recent heart attack by looking for signature changes on a test of the heart's electrical activity called an electrocardiogram and by checking for certain enzyme levels in the blood. But not all silent heart attacks result in picking these up. Proud to announce, by the way, that Rosemary Ellen Guiley, a regular guest here on Coast to Coast, is writing a new book with me called Talking to the Dead. Rosemary's on the line with us right now. Rosemary, thank you, by the way, for this. This is going to be one of the great works of all time, at least as far as I'm concerned.
Hi, George. I'm really excited about this.
Me too. Now, you know, you and I have talked about the Frank's Box and the SpiritCom and devices that are trying to be used to talk to the dead, some with some success based on some of your work in research. We're going to take this a little farther in the book, aren't we?
Absolutely. This is one of the greatest cutting-edge frontiers in paranormal research, I think, in at least the last century. In fact, the dawn of this era really goes back to the start of the 20th century, when people started turning to high tech out of curiosity as ways to try and communicate with the dead and other entities. But we'll be looking at science, metaphysics, history, folklore, a lot of colorful personalities, and also the ramifications of what contact means to us. How are we going to be changed? How will society be changed in our fundamental worldviews if we have verified communication with the dead and other entities? Just some tremendous implications involved.
Our publisher, Tor Forge, of course, published my first book with Bill Burns, A Worker in the Light, and also Journey into the Light, which is coming out. This is exciting, Rosemary, and I welcome working with you on this.
Well, thank you, George. I'm just so pleased. You know, we've been talking about doing a book together for a long time, and I think we've really hit on the perfect topic.
Well, we'll be talking to you really soon. That's Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Redmond O'Neill has told a judge in a Los Angeles court that his ailing mother, Farrah Fawcett, is now down to just 86 pounds. The 24-year-old O'Neill made the announcement when he asked for leniency in sentencing for a violation of his parole stemming from drug charges. He told the judge, "I want to be there for my mom. My mom only weighs 86 pounds right now, and I'm sorry, Your Honor. She is fighting cancer." Swiss officials say that they are powerless to act against identical twins who have run up hundreds of parking tickets and blamed each other for the offenses. They say they cannot punish the two for these parking offenses. Police say that in the last year alone, the twins have collected 29 parking tickets on a car that they both share. But every time they refuse to pay them, they tell the courts that the other was driving. And the courts say, gosh, there's nothing we can do about it. Joe Montaldo joins us next on Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Network. Going to be talking about UFO disclosure next. Don't go away. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, live at the studios of WMAL Radio here in Washington, D.C., where I'm here for a weekend ex-conference, UFO Disclosure. Joe Montaldo, founder, national director of the International Community for Alien Research, ICAR, investigates alien contact, abductions, and experiences for more than 20 years. He's also the owner of the Paranormal Network, and he is at this event. As a matter of fact, Joe, you had a lot of your work done today, did you not?
Yeah, yes, I did, George. Actually, I did my lecture this afternoon, got out a couple of interviews today. It's been a busy day, but Stephen always promises when you come to one of his conferences to keep you busy.
Oh, he's been working. You know, he's the kind of guy, Joe, that, and we're talking about Steve Bassett, who's putting on the X conference, that as soon as his conference was over last year, he started into this one.
Oh yes, he's definitely a good getter, and I enjoy his conferences. They're different than the other conferences are. It's a different kind of attitude. There's a lot more going on, but you know, where you're attending a lot of the other conferences, and I know you've been to a lot of mm-hmm. them. They're a little bit more relaxed. They're a little bit more loose in the type of information given. Steven's looking for disclosure. He's looking for answers, just like the rest of us are. But he kind of keeps his speakers and all in a closer confinement, a better. Yeah, I don't want to offend you.
He's all business.
He is. He really is. And he's really trying to present a conference that is a little different than the other ones, and really, really more truth-getting, more hard-hitting conference. And I enjoy it. Plus, I got to say, it's one of the better-dressed conferences.
Well, that's another thing. I'm going to have to wear a suit tomorrow. Normally, I'll do these things in jeans, and I just get relaxed and comfortable. But he's tough.
Yeah, he is. And I was in a suit all day. You see, I'm relaxed now. I've got in some comfortable clothes.
Well, you know, when he was talking with us about my presentation, which will be tomorrow, you know, normally I'll just do a quick meet and greet and say hello to people mm-hmm. and things like that. And we talk about the direction of the program and they, you know, Q&A and things like that. Yeah. And he said, no, I want a full presentation this year. And that's what we're going to give him with some special treats, some special audio clips of past guests. Joe, tell me the mood nowadays, though, about disclosure. It seems like other countries are actively releasing its UFO files. Not quite disclosure. I mean, mm-hmm. they're not coming out saying, hey, we know these things exist. Yeah. But they are releasing information. I guess one could say that we did that, too, years ago through Project Blue Book. But I don't know. What's your take on all of this?
Well, you know, it's interesting you brought that up, because recently we've added an Australian, China, India, and UK branch to the International Community for Alien Research.
Good.
And I've been getting a lot of data from our international directors. And for some reason, even the Brits seem to be a little bit looser than we are in this subject. And I don't understand, because really, and to my friends listening in the UK, y'all don't take this the wrong way, but generally y'all are more uptight than Americans are. And I just don't understand. You know, y'all are putting out information. France has put out information. It seems like everybody out there is starting to put information out. And you're right. I mean, it's not full disclosure, but it's an admittance that they've been concealing this information for years. U.S. isn't even willing to do that. I will say they've never denied extraterrestrials. We actually put a team looking for any politician that said E.T. doesn't exist or that all of this is lie or bogus. None of them will say that. And I notice most politicians, if you can ask them directly, they'll usually say something along, well, maybe it was Swamp Gizz or maybe it was the Air Force. Yeah. But they'll never say, no, it wasn't extraterrestrial. And I guess that's to save face later on if there ever is disclosure. But, you know, something when I was talking today about the military abduction thing, one of the problems here is as far as the alien agenda goes, I don't think the government really knows that much more than most of the researchers out there. So for them to disclose cuts off a source of information for them. So I think there's going to be a problem there for quite some time until the government feels it's gotten the information it needs out of this. I really don't think they're going to be willing to disclose.
See, one of the things the government will do, though, rather than disclose, is they take the angle of the skeptic, and then they create these preposterous excuses of what things are. Like Roswell, dummies, when dummies in testing did not exist for years later.
Yeah. And the Roswell thing always did crack me up. I don't know what the Air Force was thinking there. You got to wonder if their head researcher, their head colonel over there wasn't on crack or something, or simply his research team dropped the ball. I mean, this was obvious. I think the dummies were 10 years, 9 years after the fact.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a good distance, and you have to kind of wonder what that was about. But it's like the crash in Roswell to start off with. To me, it's a good chance that ship was given to the U.S. and the U.S. crashed that craft itself.
Testing it?
Yeah, because, you know...
What do you mean by giving? Like a gift? Here you are, Earthlings?
Well, I don't know if it was quite that simple, but for me, it's kind of weird because I've talked to several researchers about this, and I'm not a Roswell expert by any means, but I've always had a problem. Being an abduction researcher, I've always had a problem that they left the craft. It's always been an issue to me. I mean, like we were talking earlier, we're not going to let the Russians keep a Raptor. We're not going to let them keep an F-35. Even if we got to go over there and blow the thing up, we're not going to let them keep it
right,
because the technology is entirely too advanced. So for me, when they said, oh, well, the Grays flew umpteen billion miles, crashed on planet Earth, and then let us keep the saucer, I had to take issue with that. So for me, it was one of two things. Gildas suggested maybe it was a shuttlecraft or a cargo ship, and that might be something they left behind. No need to recoup that. Technology is very limited. Or the simple fact was that they gave us one. We were flying it, and this goes better along with the multiple crash sites anyway. We were flying it. The Grays were on board. Somehow or another, humans lost control of the craft. The Grays ejected. The humans ejected. That's why we had two crash sites. The main craft went down one place. The escape pod went down another craft. It seems to fit a little better than the current theories on Roswell, but I leave Roswell alone because it's trouble for me. But really, it does sound a little better to me as theories go. And I have noticed some other researchers out there now kind of taking a double look at this.
What are you working on now with the Paranormal Network?
Actually, we're expanding as usual. We've added a new, about 14 new shows. I think that puts us at a total of 36 live broadcasts now. We've recently brought on some more ufologists on. Originally, we only had three or four shows. Alfred is on with us when he's on.
And, Alfred Weber. He'll be on in just a moment.
And he's on rebroadcasting on Saturday. No, Monday. Actually, he's rebroadcasting on Monday because I know his show is live on Saturday. Preston Dennett is on there. John Greenwald is on there. Karen Dolan,
Black
host
for us.
Yeah. And Karen brings Peter. If you ever get a chance, Peter and Robin guest hosted while Karen was in Laughlin. You have to listen to that shit. They were funny. Ask Richard when you see him later. It was just hilariously funny.
Joe, what kind of paranormal work are you guys doing with regards to alien contact?
Actually, we got a lot of things going on. First off and foremost, we do abduction research. I kind of got drug into the MILAB thing, kicking and screaming, and thanks to y'all, when we won with Melinda Leslie, it seemed to rekindle this, and a lot more people have taken notice of it. So we've been working on that. We've been expanding our abduction database quite a bit. We're up to, last count, I think, was 12,500 certified abductees in our database.
That's huge.
And, and all of these are investigated now. Somebody asked me today about this. They said, well, that's all you've investigated is 12,000 cases, which to me, to start off with, is a lot of cases. But in reality, it's probably closer to 50,000. It's just the other 38,000 are not cases we consider to be reliable. They're just either one of five or six
hallucinations,
yeah.
Dreams, things like that.
We get these people who have had childhood problems that come in and they mask it with alien abduction. Of course, we send them to counselors and things like that, or social workers or psychologists and say, hey, look, because we don't do that. But there's a lot of that going on. But because of shows like yours and a few other ones out there right now, more and more of these people are finding us. And it's really increasing the database up. It puts us in a very unique position as far as what kind of information we obtain these days. It's like when Linda Leslie, I was talking with her a couple of weeks ago, she said she's got about 25 or 30 MILAB cases. We have 500. And it just puts it allows us to build a much greater database for abduction criteria, military criteria, and it works quite well. And I have recently, in the last year, released about 40% of the abduction criteria. My problem is I'm scared to go any further than that.
Why?
Well, because it's like a show like this, you reach a lot of people. If I was to give away, say, 70, 80%, I would never know who was telling me the truth. People would be calling me up saying, oh, I had this, 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 and this. Well, they told me all the abduction criteria, so instantly the researchers are going to think they're an abductee, when in fact they're probably just somebody playing a game with us. So,
yeah, and you got to be careful about that.
So this way we kind of give them a taste, just like when Whitley Strieber's book came out and Bruce McAbee's, when they had the picture on there. It's kind of a little taste to get people to say, whoa, that's happened to me. I've heard that. I've seen that. I've experienced that. And that's usually enough to get them into us and let us talk to them about what has really happened to them.
Are you at a point, Joe, where you can conclude what these alien abductions are? Why on, they occur?
On some things. The problem here is there seems to be a lot of stuff going on. Originally, when I got involved with this, I'm thinking one or two agendas, three agendas. You know, no big deal. A couple of groups of aliens, they're all doing a little bit. Well, now that I've been investigating this for 28 years, it seems like you've got agendas with sub-agendas with more sub-agendas. And we have everything from breeding programs to for different type of stress-related things. There's also seems to be several mental programs running where they're actually seeing what kind of psi abilities you have, what kind of how strong your psi abilities are. There also seems to be a whole realm of experiments dealing with, I hate to say emotions, but they really push you both physically and mentally to see how far they can push you. But it's not always a bad thing. When I say push you, sometimes they'll push your threshold or pain or what you can take in a crisis situation. But sometimes they'll go the other way, and they'll push you in a way that almost is like a full-blown belly laugh for 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. They're just really testing our boundaries all the way around. And I find that interesting for a race that's been here for a long time. It's almost like they're entertaining themselves sometimes.
It's a little game, isn't it?
And I hate to say that, but it's one of the experiments we run is we take a group of contactees. We do this on a regular basis. We'll take 25 to 50 contactees. We'll have a group session where either through hypnosis or through suggestion, they'll be given a list of questions. And when the next time they're re-abducted, the first thing they do is telepathically they're thinking about these questions the entire time and are embedded in their memory. So as soon as one of the races pick them up, it's instant. They transmit the questions. A lot of times the answers will be transmitted back. The problem is here, sometimes the grays think of this as like, well, you know, oh, my abductee did that. I'm proud. She did good. Sometimes, as Jim Sparks and Katarina Wilson will contest to, there's penalties for it. It depends. I think it's more about what you ask than how you ask it. And a lot of times they're willing to share information with contactees that can handle it, but sometimes they are not.
You are a volume of information. You know people and names in this field that go way back.
Yeah.
And
I'm very fortunate because being that, you know, I'm allowed to come on shows like this and I host my own show and stuff, it puts me in a unique position. I do my abduction research with all the contactees we work with. And then when I get to conclusions, like there was some stuff a couple of weeks ago, I called up Yvonne Smith. I said, Yvonne, come on a show with me for an hour. I want to talk to you about some stuff. So what you get with us basically is you're getting live research on the air, because 80% of the times when I'm on the air, that's what I'm doing.
You're doing all my homework.
Yeah. Joe. Yeah. Hey, it makes it easier.
How do people hear you on the internet, by the way?
You can catch us on paranormalradionetwork.org or .com, actually, is the easiest way to find us, www.paranormalradionetwork.com. If you're in the Gulf South, you can get my show on 105.3 FM out of New Orleans, and also about 14 or 15 other affiliates in the Gulf South area on AM. The station itself is carried on 105.3 out of New Orleans right now. It's live down there. We were going to actually call y'all, but y'all are on R&O down there already.
Yeah,
so yeah, y'all are already on, and which we listen to y'all all the time down there. So, but that's the easiest venues to find. We're also, for the people who want to hear the shows, and I'm going to give y'all a good plug tonight for y'all want to hear the shows, and you can't get us on AM and you don't have an internet, flip open your cell phone, and you're going to find it on the site. It's called UpSnap. Type in a number, type in 2899 for the station code, and boom, we're live.
Simple.
It's
technology's
easy.
Amazing. It's fantastic. You ready for some phone calls?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. We're going to. This is going to be an interactive program tonight. So we'll take your programs with Joe Montaldo next as we talk about alien abductions and UFO disclosure next on Coast to Coast AM. Did you know in 1977 there was a proposed extraterrestrial communication study project for the Carter White House? We're going to talk with Alfred Weber about that next hour. Coast to Coast, a program that just goes on and on and on, just like the Energizer Bunny. Ian Punnett is one of those bunnies. We just put a couple batteries in him, and off he goes. You never stop. How are you?
I'm doing well. Have you noticed something extra special, I think, for tomorrow night on Coast to Coast? We have the author of this really cool new book all about the inconsistencies of the Bible, things that get said in one chapter that are contradicted by something in another chapter, and I know that's very controversial for some people.
It's going to be fiery.
But Bart Ehrman is just, you know, about as good as it gets. And here's the extra special part. I believe he's the first guest I've had in a very long time, just like yours tonight, who doesn't have his own radio show.
That's true.
How many of our own guests have their own radio shows?
Too? Hey, you know what? It's a big thing. Hey, by the way, I loved your Glenn Miller interview.
Oh, great. I'm so glad.
It's a great story.
I really
enjoyed it. Great story.
Well, thank you. I know it's going to be a great show tonight. Have a great time in D.C., buddy.
You got it. Ian Punnett, and he'll be on tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be back in a moment. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, live at the X Conference in Washington, D.C., with our guest this hour, Joe Montaldo. And we're going to take your phone calls as well. Interactive night tonight. You know, Joe, I was born in Detroit, but I forgot what it's like when this program is on. It starts at 1 a.m. That's early or late, depending on how you look at it.
It is.
I love it. Let's go to the calls. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
First-time caller, we'll go to Robert in Jackson, Mississippi. Welcome to Coast. You're on with us. Hi, Robert.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call. I got a question for your guest. There was a movie made some time ago called Fire in the Sky. I'm sure you're familiar with it.
It's about the Travis Walton case.
Yeah. Okay, based on a true story. And I was wondering if you had ever researched or investigated that particular case, and if you did, what were your conclusions to that?
Actually, it's an interesting question. I've met Travis a few times. I've talked to him, and I've talked to Mike a few times as well. The only way I can put this is Travis was simply in the wrong place at the right time or the right place at the wrong time.
Passed his lie detector test?
Yes, passed his lie detector test. And it's actually, I have no doubt what happened to him. I've never had any problem with his case. I just kind of felt sorry for him because 99% of abductions are done in genetic or family lines, and they usually go from birth to death. In Travis's case, his nosiness got him in trouble.
That's true.
And it was a shame, and it's an experience I'm sure he wishes he would forget. But I tell this to people all the time when they call in to me and talk to me. If you see a saucer or any type of craft, because I hear you were in Mississippi, so I'm sure you're familiar with the Pascagoula case, sometimes it's best to walk the other way or just ignore it. I mean, if you're not a researcher and you're not in the field, you might want to decide to go somewhere else because Charlie was also a one-time abductee. And the thing about it is they're simply being in the wrong place at the wrong time. So, yeah, I think Travis was a good case, and I think it's a good case that should stay in ufology. It's just it was just a one-time thing. And I think he's grateful for it, to be honest with you, every time I've talked to him.
I think so, too, Joe. You know, I've talked to him a couple times on Coast to Coast, and he's believable. I believe that he believes what happened to him happened. And that's the important thing.
Yeah, it is. And I agree with that 100%.
Next up, we'll go to Bloomington, Illinois. Bill on the wild card line. Welcome to Coast. Hello, Bill. Good morning to you.
Good morning, George and Joe. I got a question. If we're getting visited by aliens, what is their criteria to what nation do they align with? We've got parliaments. We've got socialism. We've got dictators. We've got a republic. What is their criteria to say, well, our country or our nation is better than the other ones listed in as far as the world goes? And how can, you know, we trust them basically just to pick us, and maybe are they doing the same thing to some other nation that we don't know about?
Truthfully, they could care less about politics. They abduct in every country on the planet across the board. It doesn't matter if it's China, India, Australia, Mexico. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what color you are, what race you are, what sex you are, or where you live. I will tell you this. Majority of all abductions happen in big cities. In the United States, the largest abduction count is out of New York City, with Los Angeles and San Diego following close behind it. In Mexico, it's Mexico City. I believe it's Sydney in Australia. I'd have to check. But you're going to find that this happens all around the world. It's not any one country. They really could care less about our politics. I'm sure they wish, as a planet, we would clean up our act to make their job a little bit easier. But in general, they don't really need the governments for anything. They pretty much have free run of the planet without anybody's interference. U.S. is the most advanced, most powerful nation in the world, and it has not even had a chance of stopping this. So you know the rest of the country surely don't have a chance.
Do you get cases, Joe, unlike the Walton case where his buddies were there, do you get witnesses with abduction cases?
Actually, I was talking about this earlier today. In Gulf Breeze, this has happened several times in Gulf Breeze, we bring down groups to Gulf Breeze, Florida, every couple of months. And on a couple of occasions, we have actually seen mass abductions with 10 or 15 of us present when it happened. Now, to make a long story short, the people with me are contactees. What it seems like, especially with the Grays, is they know these people are standing there. They don't seem to have a problem with them watching mass abductions down there. So it's a very interesting phenomenon itself. But I think we've had up to 20 people with us when there was an abduction occurring that was actually witnessed by the 20 people that's with us. So they seem to be a little easier going now with the contactees. And if you can handle it, I don't think they keep their secrets, or not as many secrets from you.
Amarillo, Texas, we go. Lynn, welcome to Coast. You're up with us. Good morning, Lynn. Hi.
Good morning. Hi, guys. Quick question. I had an experience that happened to me in 1996, and I was wondering, I can't remember all of it. Do y'all think that it would be okay to go ahead and go through hypnosis and see if I can finish finding out some things?
I tell you what to do. You're in Texas, right? Go to the iCart site, www.icar1.com. Look up Jason Wilson. He's our Texas State Director. And what they will do is they will interview you. If they can't retrieve the information by just talking to you and through a couple of other means they use, they will set you up with a good therapist. I'm not sure who we're using in Texas. I know if you're on the West Coast, it would probably be Yvonne or Kelly or somebody. Down in Louisiana, actually, my wife would handle that. She may be the one handling the one in Texas. Maybe not. I'd have to actually check. But I would contact him. He handles all the Texas cases. And I'll be honest with y'all. I try not to step on my director's feet. I do try to let them handle the cases. Now, I will tell you this also. If you have a problem.
What? A manager who lets his employees do their thing?
That's what they're there for. That's their job.
Let me ask. I've listened to Coast to Coast for quite a while, and I've never heard anybody say on this topic if they've ever seen any little children ETs, but in my experience,
no, they don't see small children. They see small ETs, but they're not children.
Okay, maybe they're not children, but the two that after this humming sound, and it was a sound that was so vibrant with so much energy in it that the next thing I knew, I was laying on my bed, and there were two standing beside me, one at my knees and one at my chest, and they were lowering their hand, just scanning me, and I turned and looked, and there was two about a foot and a half tall that were looking at some birds in a bird cage.
Okay, we've never had reports of them being that small. Mostly it's what?
Maybe 2 feet tall. The adults that were standing, they were about 3.5 feet.
Were they grays or reptilians? I'm curious.
They were gray, and they were almost transparent, and I couldn't see their hands off.
In a while.
Their faces, their eyes were just amazingly large. And when I looked at the one standing next to me, I said to myself, I wonder if they're going to hurt me. And this one looked at me and said, no, we're not. But, you know, it was telepathic. And then I just kind of looked around the room wondering what was going on. And I looked back and I thought to myself, I wonder if that's a girl or a boy. And it said, like you. There was no fear whatsoever.
Hmm. Well, then Monday night, Dr. Bruce Goldberg is going to be our guest on Coast to Coast, and he's going to be talking about some of these hypnotherapy issues.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Make sure you're listening. He has a list of doctors as well around the country, and I'm sure he's got some in Amarillo, Texas, that might be able to help you.
That sounds great.
Okay, great. Thanks for listening to Coast. Up next, let's go to Dayton, Ohio. First-time caller, Sean, it's your turn. Hi, Sean.
Hey. Hey, guys. George, what's up?
Good.
Love your show, George.
Thank you,
Sean.
You
got a good show there. I was wanting to ask, since you had a word this year, about these people being abducted. Is there some type of way? I'm thinking that there's some people are doing experiments, actually, with inside the government, like a government behind the government. And people
very possible.
They're abducting these people, and they're doing experiments on them, and they're have some type of technology where they can get into their mind, and they're seeing what they're experimenting with this new technology that we don't know about, supposedly. But it's just an assumption. What's your comment on that? I appreciate it.
Joe.
Well, I tell you what. One of the lectures I gave today at the X conference was on military abductions or reabductions. And there is a group, and military is.
So you think that's happening?
Yeah. Oh, it's actually.
Okay.
There's no doubt that it's happening. We hate to use the word military or government for that matter, because this organization seems to be somewhere in between what I like to call our political government and our military. They seem to run covertly. They don't seem to be answerable to anyone. I don't think it's Obama's government. I don't think it's the military. More than likely, at this point, they probably started out originally as some government organization. More than likely now, the people who were in charge have probably gone covert. They're probably getting funding through probably big business in exchange for technological favors. And this seems to go on a regular basis. But they have to have big ties somewhere because they don't seem to be worried about this at all. There doesn't seem to be any repercussions for what they're doing. They're not scared of the aliens. They're not scared of the government. They're not scared of the military. And they abduct military contactees on a regular basis. The military does. And people like Katarina Wilson and a few others that are a little bit more famous contactees, sometimes what happens with people like this is because they come on shows like George's, they're a wealth of information. The government hears them on a show like this, and they say, well, you know what? Listen to the information this woman has or this gentleman has, and they will actually have them picked up. And then they put them through a whole host of stuff, and then they release them again. But the military is not near as sophisticated, whoever this is not nearly sophisticated as the Greys or the Reptilians are. So it's a little bit easier to retrieve these false memories or to remove the hypnosis blocks.
Where do mutilations, cattle mutilations, and things like that fit in? Government or alien?
I think it might be both. I hate to rule out. There was some information recently given to me. I don't know if anybody's ever seen on Discovery Channel. There's a show called Trinity and Beyond. Now, if you're my age or older, you know what that means, and it's about the nuclear bomb. On this documentary, they talk about one of the things the government does to test in areas where there may be radiation contamination. Well, the parts they're taking from the cows happen to be the same parts that the U.S. government was talking about. Now, in the United States, there's no real cattle mutilations east of the Mississippi River. They're all west of the Mississippi River. And what's important about this is where they're concentrated the most are all areas where there could be underground contamination from underground testing in these areas. Now, I'm not ruling out the aliens altogether in this, but 85% of the cases we've investigated, there's been black helicopters, not UFOs. Also, and this is a very interesting thing, and I talked to Linda Moulton Howell about this, almost every rancher we interviewed, his cows were insured. So there's not a loss going on here.
They do insure, but that's normal.
But that is normal.
That's normal.
But there's a lot of ranches out there, and they could be picking on ones that aren't insured, and it seems like only the ranches with insurance are the ones being picked on, which kind of makes it sound government. But I would say that part of these cattle mutilations are the government checking for underground contamination. The other part, I'm not sure. Some of them definitely smack of some type of extraterrestrial intervention. There was a point Linda made to me one time on the air about there's a sack around your heart, and the heart was removed and the sack was left. Well, as far as I know, we don't have that kind of technology. So in that particular case, I'd have to say alien. Some of the other ones, I would say government. So I think you got a mix going on there.
Ever been to Seattle, Joseph?
Yeah, actually I have.
Well, we're going now.
Oh, excellent.
Here we go. Annie, west of the Rockies. Hi, Annie.
Hi there.
Take it away.
Well, this is really interesting. I've never heard of what I've been going through before. First of all, just to make it short, I was starting to wake up with bruises on my upper arms in the shape of fingerprints, dark black. And that went on for, oh gosh, about 2 or 3 months, and a whole bunch of other things happened. But basically now I have 2 alien handprints on my carpet in my bedroom.
But that's interesting. Now, the bruises on your arms, that's common. Legs, thighs, that's common with alien abductions, because most people, especially people who are just coming through the awakening, have a tendency to struggle when they're being abducted. The only other prints I've ever heard about being on carpet was there was a couple of people that were running some experiments for MUFON that were putting baby powder and aluminum foil around their bed. And occasionally they would get a print in the baby powder. It would leave a print like across the carpet or an indentation on that. But as far as it just being a print there, that's now I've heard about them. Well, I did hear about one case where there was a print on the back of a car, too. So
really?
That was interesting. But that was out near a NASA facility. So we're going to kind of leave that one alone.
All right. Good. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, appreciate you being on the program. Next up, let's go to Albuquerque. Mike, thanks for holding. You're up with us.
Hello, George. Well, just a long-time listener, and I love your show. I have a quick question. Well, I don't know about
sure
quick,
thing.
But anyway, I wanted to get your opinion on it, or your guest can tell me. Back in late September of the night of a new moon, I was out driving around in northern New Mexico. And it was about 1:30 in the morning, and I was with a friend and saw these 4 lights flying in a diamond-shaped configuration. They were 4 solid amber lights, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I said to my friend, look at that, and he saw it. And I stopped, and I got the binoculars. It was a very clear night, not a cloud in the sky, very clear, very dark, in the middle of nowhere. And I was looking at it with the binoculars, standing outside the vehicle. And then I look at it with my eyes, then with the binoculars, and it was amazing. It was just nothing I had ever seen before. And as it was flying behind this hill just to the north of me, about a quarter mile, this little hill, the lights were going behind this hill. And right when it went behind the hill, there was this bright flash of light, like, similar to lightning, when lightning strikes in the at night, there's that flash of
light.
Could
be natural.
Could be.
I have no idea what that was. I don't know what caused it, but those 4 lights were gone at that moment. When it went behind that little hill, they were just gone. They were, took off right away to go see where it went, to follow it, whatever, track it, and it was gone. And it was a very cool night. It was probably like in the 50s, and I don't know.
Could this be natural, Joe? Let's get Joe's take.
It could be natural. Where are you? You said Albuquerque, New Mexico?
He's in Albuquerque, yeah.
What I'm asking is at the 60th anniversary of Roswell, we were actually driving in from Texas, and there was a group of people that described something like that.
Thunderstorms, by the way, that night.
Yeah, it was a very strange night, and it sounds a lot like you're talking about. I don't want to rule out you might have actually had a sighting, but you got to be careful out in New Mexico. There's a lot of phenomena going out there that have nothing to do with aliens. It's just you got weird weather out there.
Is it not true, Joe, that for sightings, the first thing you must look at are natural situations?
You should always rule out any weather or any
satellites,
kind of phenomena,
meteorites, all that stuff.
Any kind of weird lighting in the general
balloons,
areas.
Rule them out first.
Yeah, rule all of that out and then see what you're left with, and then you can go from there. But there's lots of good researchers you can get to, especially in New Mexico. There's quite a few good UFO researchers out there.
Joe, are you going to be at the conference for the next couple of days, or you're going to wrap it up?
No, I'm going to be there until Monday. I'll be at the Washington Press Club with everybody Monday morning.
That's going to be huge, I hear.
Yeah, and we'll be all of us are sitting at tables. Come out and see. I mean, there's a wide range of ufologists there. George is going to be speaking tomorrow night. Everybody's going to be working at tables. Everybody there is very nice and very approachable. So come out, say hi, and ask your questions.
If you're in the Washington, D.C. area, you can go to x-conference.com, or there's a link right now at coasttocoastam.com as well. Joe, as usual, most gracious guest, my friend.
Thank you for having me on, George.
I'll be back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Up next will be Alfred Weber. Alfred has just written a book called Exopolitics, Politics, Government, and Law in the Universe. Also has an updated series of information for us about the Vatican. You remember when the Vatican came out with a statement about extraterrestrials? We're going to talk with Alfred about that, too, on Coast to Coast AM.